Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Well, what is written in the law? What do you read there?" The lawyer answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, the lawyer asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him. And when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The lawyer said, "The one who showed mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Dear friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Have you ever been a good Samaritan? Have you? Good. I remember one day, Miriam and I were driving into church. We were going east on River Road, and there was a car pulled over to the shoulder, and the driver's door was open, and the woman was standing outside the door, but bent over, doing something like this on the front seat. And I put on my cape, and I pulled over, then put on my cape to go rescue someone. And I got out of the car, and I said, "Ma'am, is there anything I can do to help you?" She said, "No, I just can't get this spider out of my car." So I've tried to be a good Samaritan on occasion, and also I've been on the receiving end of some good Samaritans. We used to have, when the kids were little, we had this maroon Delta 88 four-door, and we called it, and it was as long as this sanctuary is wide, and we called it the Love Boat. So the girls, our daughters, Hannah and Rebecca, and I jumped into the Love Boat to go to Meijer to get groceries. And on the way back from Meijer, a couple miles from home, the Love Boat stopped running. I had no idea why. Pulled over to the side of the road, coasted over to the side of the road. I've got twins in the back seat, in their child seats, and then I got bags of groceries on each side of them. And these were pre-cell phone days. And so I didn't know what to do. So I'm just sitting there in my car, and I get out and can't figure out what to do. And I want to be careful how I describe the 2 gentlemen that pulled over in the pickup that had the fenders that could fall off from rust at any time. But when they got out and walked toward the car, I thought, "We're done for." And they came up to me and said, "Looks like you've got a problem, sir." I said, "Yeah, my car stopped running. I got my twin girls in the back seat, seats full of groceries." He says, "Well, we'll give you a ride." I said, "No, it's all right, really. I'll figure something out." He said, "Oh, no. We insist. We want to help you." So knowing that the 3 of us might die between there and our house, we got the girls out, and we got all the groceries. They put the groceries in the pickup bed, and we all squished into this pickup front bench seat together. So there we are. We're riding home with these 2 total strangers. I don't know what's going to happen to us. And they pull up into our driveway, pull up next to the house, let us out, help me get my girls in the house, help us get all our groceries in the house. I've got $5 or $10 in my billfold. I try to pay them, and they say, nope, the blessing was ours that we could help you today. So, lesson learned, Mark. Hello. Don't prejudge, maybe? Anyway, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Now, a lawyer in Jesus' time and culture did not exactly mean the same thing as today's lawyer. It's important in the context of this story that we know that this lawyer was a Jew. As such, he was an expert in the law, that is, Jewish law. Religious law, Jewish religious law, and also civil law to a degree, because they did have to relate to Rome. But civil law was primarily the domain of Imperial Rome, the occupiers. A Jewish lawyer knew Jewish religious law frontwards and backwards, and they refined their knowledge and skill by debating with one another all the time. Just like the rabbis. So here, a Jewish lawyer is initiating a debate with Jesus, a Jewish rabbi. And I don't get the sense he's trying to trap Jesus into some kind of blasphemy, as the scribes and Pharisees do elsewhere in the Gospels. He's just doing his thing. He's testing the rabbi. He's trying to see what he's made of. Does Jesus really know his stuff? Teacher, he said. So the debate will be a respectful one. The lawyer kindly humbles himself before Jesus. Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Please note that the notion of eternal life is not the exclusive domain of Christians. And Jesus, in very typical rabbinic fashion, responds to a question with a question. Jesus said to him, well, what is written in the law? What do you read there? It sounds like they're enjoying themselves in my imagination. A good lawyer, a good rabbi, living out their traditions. And Jesus knew that the lawyer knew the answer. And sure enough, the lawyer answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. The Shema. The Shema from Deuteronomy chapter 6, which is a little more expansive. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. It goes on. Keep these words that I'm commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children. And talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Yep, these verses are a pretty big deal. The same conversation exists in Matthew and Mark as well. So Jesus said to the lawyer, you have given the right answer. Do this and you will live. Or do this and you'll live forever. So here's something I just want you to think about. For 2,000 years, we have made the doctrine of eternal life just that, a doctrine. What we must believe to inherit eternal life. Well, here, the lawyer's question is, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus has him answer his own question. Love God, love your neighbor, and love yourself. Do this, and you shall live. Dear friends, do this, and you shall live forever. Boom. I guess we can all go home now. But wait, the lawyer isn't finished. He continues the debate. So, who is my neighbor? What a great question. I love that question. There's a book that's been out for a long time. I don't even know if it's in publication anymore, but it's about the raging debate in churches over all things LGBTQ. And the title of the book is The Homosexual My Neighbor? By Letha Dawson Scanzoni and Virginia Ramey Mollenkott. When we discuss such a topic, we must have that discussion in the context of love of neighbor. If so, I am commanded by Jesus and the author of Deuteronomy to love anyone who is LGBTQ, anyone who is different than me. Well, in Jesus' time, there was no one more different, more the other, to this lawyer than a lowly Samaritan. Jesus is so brilliant, and he knew exactly what he was doing. Jesus once again embraces one at the margins as the example to follow. As I said a few weeks ago, as Jesus and his disciples were walking to Jerusalem through Samaria, no one despised one another more than the Jews and the Samaritans. And so Jesus and his disciples had no place to lay their heads. So Jesus told the lawyer one of the most famous and beloved stories in history. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Just so you know, in Jerusalem to Jericho, still the Jericho Road exists. And some of these things that have been in the scriptures for thousands of years, I'll see them on a little green street sign and think, wow, that street sign says Jericho Road on it. It amazed me. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when the priest saw him, he passed by on the other side. Priest. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and have you noticed that Jesus challenges authority whenever he gets the chance? Have you ever seen the bumper sticker, Challenge Authority? One of our kids' teachers had a big poster of that on the front of his desk. I thought that was a humble thing to do. Ask me any question you want. Sounds a little subversive, doesn't it, to challenge authority? Well, it's not. It's a quest for love and truth over power. Hear these words of Richard Rohr with regard to a prophet. A prophet is one who keeps God free for people and who keeps people free for God. Both of these are much needed and vital tasks. Without the educated gift of prophecy, God almost always becomes imprisoned and made inaccessible. And far too many people have been shamed and taught guilt to keep us clergy in business. We saw our job as sin management. That is not just being clever. I believe we religious leaders actually thought that. Sadly, the laity bought into this negative storyline. That is what happens when priests are not informed by the prophets. The priestly class invariably makes God less accessible instead of more so. Neither entering yourselves nor letting others enter in, as Jesus says in Matthew. For the sake of our own job security, the priestly message is often, you can only come to God through us, by doing the right rituals, obeying the rules, and obeying the right doctrines. This is like telling God who God is allowed to love. The clergy and religious leaders, unintentionally perhaps, teach their disciples learned helplessness. Prophets turn our ideas of success and belonging on their head, emphasizing God's unconditional and unmerited love in response to our continual shortcomings. God is always breaking the approved rules of God by forgiving sinners, choosing the outsider or the weak, and showing up in secular places. Please check the Bible if you doubt me. And sure enough, here we have a priest who walks on by, totally forsaking the Shema. You know, this priest knew the Shema, the greatest of all the commandments. So likewise, a Levite when he came to the place and saw him, passed on by on the other side. The tribe of Levi was set aside. One of the 12 tribes of Israel, the tribe of Levi, was set aside to serve particular religious duties for the Israelites and had political and educational responsibilities as well. So this particular tribe was dispersed throughout the rest of Israel and those other tribes for centuries and for centuries. So the Levites, too, had religious authority, and the Levite walked right on by on the other side of the road, just like the priest. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. Please know this had to make the lawyer squirm. Surely this lawyer knew the priestly class well and to his advantage. And surely this lawyer knew the Levitical class as well, Levitical class well and to his advantage. But a Samaritan? He despised the Samaritans. And despise is not too strong a word. I took the word hate out because I don't like the word hate. Jesus does not relent. The Samaritan went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, "Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend." So Jesus says, looks up to the lawyer, probably looks him right in the eyes, and asks, "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" You can only imagine how much the lawyer did not want to answer this question. Maybe Jesus had to repeat it. "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The lawyer said,
"The one who showed him mercy."
Jesus said, "I can't hear you. The one who showed him mercy." I kind of made up that little repetition there myself. Now, did you notice that the lawyer would still not use the word Samaritan? He used the words, "the one who showed him mercy." He still would not say the word Samaritan. Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Dear friends, go and do likewise. We are called to be a neighbor to everyone, especially those we might despise or distrust or hate or ignore or consider the other. We can't look at the plight of this beloved community only through the eyes of politics, and we certainly can't look at the plight of this beloved community through the eyes of judgment. We must see through the third eye of an authentic neighbor. We are called to love our neighbor as we love God, and God is love. We can't look at the plight of families at our southern border and throughout our nation this week only through the eyes of politics. And we certainly can't look at the plight of families at our southern border and throughout our nation this week through the eyes of judgment. We must see through the third eye of an authentic neighbor, because we are. And we are called to love our neighbor as we love God, as we love ourselves. And God is love. Dear friends, what if every Christian, every Jew, every Muslim, every Buddhist, every Hindu, every child of God authentically lived out this call? Because every one of those faith traditions embraced those words in one way or another. So, who is your neighbor? Far be it from me to put words in the mouth of Jesus, but I might ask it a different way. Who is not your neighbor? And let all God's children say, Amen.